Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
I am conscious that in the fine traditions of NUS presidents, they're going to keep us sweating. So what we'll do is that we'll take questions for Ruth and Chris, and when Liam arrives, we'll go straight on to him. So we'll take some questions to each of the speakers. I mean, I've got one which I'll perhaps kick off with for Ruth, which is, you know, clearly there's been lots of attention on HE, but have perhaps the staff in your institution noticed any demonstrable change in attitude from the new cohort of students, either through their sort of application process or now that they've arrived on courses? I mean, has anything obviously sort of struck you as being different from that group of students?
I mean, I think it's quite early days in terms of them having enrolled as students, but certainly I think there was a noticeable difference through the applications phase, both in terms of timing. So I think decisions were, or thinking about choices was being done over a longer period of time, in terms of, I think, taking into account as much information about different institutions and different courses and where they might lead. I think, and that was the question that I noticed most, and my colleagues did at Open Days, about, well, a bit, so if I do this course, is it worth the investment I'm going to be making in it in terms of what it might do for my prospects in terms of employment? I mean, not just that, but that was certainly one of the questions that was on the list of things that were going to be factors that were going to influence choice. And that was not just from the people themselves who were applying for the courses, but it was, you know, from their partners or their families that were coming along with them to Open Days.
Mm. And certainly, whilst you can't really have a trend with one set of data, but the 2012 UCAS applications do show something of a small kind of concentration in the subjects that traditionally have had stronger graduate premiums. So engineering, physical sciences performing reasonably well, and some of the arts and social science subjects, which perhaps have at least historically had less strong graduate premiums, there being slightly bigger or more significant drops in demand. I suppose what that, you know, the way in which students then interact with that and then kind of, you know, how that shapes decision making and their whole attitude to higher education, I think will be really interesting to keep an eye on. I think there are, whilst it's good in some respects to see students using all sorts of data to make informed decisions, there could be some drawbacks of kind of a narrow sort of utilitarian focus on graduate earnings, you know, from day one in institutions. I want to throw out, things that you've heard from, you know, the opportunity to ask questions or not, perhaps. But we will take, we'll take one question just as Liam gets a chance to sort of settle in and take a sip of water. I think there's one, yes, one at the back.
We have an online question from Julie McLeod of UWE Bristol. For Chris Taylor, pleased to see quality and standards in the videos, but where is enhancement?
I think that's an absolutely right observation. It should be there. Enhancement is absolutely core to the work of the agency. We have a whole suite of materials that flow out of our audit and review processes. We know from talking to institutions and talking to students that often never is more change achieved within an institution than in the lead-up to an audit and review in terms of enhancement. So I think you're absolutely right. Enhancement should be there and should be there more. So thank you.
What we'll do is that we'll pause the questions there, but as I say, we'll get a chance.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.